Good evening, Harmony, and welcome to our midweek online service. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and today we'll continue our study of the book of Philippians. So we'll begin with prayer request, and we want to pray for Dee. He's having some issues, so we want to pray for him. And we want to pray for all our shut-ins. We want to pray for Miss Lois and Joe. We want to pray for Miss Virginia. We want to pray for all those who are having medical problems. We want to pray for John and Carolyn. And want to pray for those experiencing pain and those experiencing other issues, and we just want to be in prayer for them. We want to pray for Roger and Carol, and we want to pray for the Craftons and for Andy Crafton. We want to pray for those who have cancer. I've had two preachers that I know, one a very good friend who went home to be with the Lord recently due to cancer. We want to continue to pray for the Mohan family in the loss of Pastor Mohan and the Jenkins family in the loss of Pastor Jenkins. And we want to pray for a Brother Dewey Boyd, who's a preacher here in town who has cancer, and we want to pray for him. And just pray for the Lord to heal and the Lord to help us. Pray for all those who have COVID 19 and those who are recovering from it. We rejoice that Brother Austin Gardner recovered from COVID and is recovering at home now. He nearly passed away, and it's being said by the doctors and nurses that it's miraculous that he survived. He was in ICU, he was in an induced coma, and yet he came out of that and he's back at home. And God's got a purpose in that. So we praise the Lord for that. And we want to continue to pray for Brother Austin Gardner and for all of those who have COVID and have had COVID, and pray for healing and pray for God to help us and to bless. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin the message. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this evening. I do pray you'd forgive me for my sins. I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray for all those who are sick. I pray for those that are hurting, for those that are not feeling well, for those that have the coronavirus, for those who are recovering from it. We pray for healing. We pray for those with cancer. Pray for Brother Boyd. We pray for others. We pray for the families of those who have passed away recently with cancer. We pray for members of our church that have cancer, that you would give healing. Pray for Clyde and Myrtle. We pray for Roger and Carol, Andy Crafton. Pray for my wife. I pray for the children. I pray that you would please fill me with your Holy Spirit now as I preach your word. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. Well, the title of the message today is Of the Gospel, and this is Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. And by way of introduction in chapter 1 and verse 12, we'll look at Paul's problems. So, the last time we met, we studied an introduction to the Philippians, which was a personal letter that Paul sent to the first church he started in Europe. And they were some of his supporters. So, he sent a personal letter to them. Philippians wasn't really meant by Paul to be a letter to be circulated to other churches, but of course, God had different plans and intended for this to be part of the New Testament. Paul is writing from Rome, and he's under house arrest, but he writes a very joyful and encouraging letter. And so now we're going to look at Paul's problems. So verse 12 says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." So the things are Paul's imprisonment or his house arrest at Rome. He expected things to go one way, and they went another. These things were permitted by God to further the gospel of Christ. Now, God allows our adversities for the purpose of furthering the gospel. John Gill said, "But his sufferings on account of the gospel, which though said to happen, were not things of chance, but of appointment." And so Paul says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." So Paul's sitting in his house in chains, in bonds. He's under house arrest. But while things didn't turn out the way he may have expected, yet they have been orchestrated by God for the gospel to be furthered. And Paul's going to show us how that will happen. And sometimes when things go wrong and we think they're some of the worst things that could possibly happen, God is using those things to put us in a place where the gospel can more effectively be preached and go out. There's been missionaries that have been hindered from going to the field, and they think that's the end of their ministry, and yet it opens a greater door for them to preach the gospel. There's been pastors that have lost their church and had to go into a different kind of ministry, and yet it turned out to be for the furtherance of the gospel. There's been individuals who have lost their jobs and had to get a job in a new place, and it looked like a disaster, but it turned out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. So God can change and orchestrate circumstances that will best be used to get the gospel out. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." So the first thing that we'll see by way of our first point is the motivator of those who preach the gospel in verses 13 through 14. So verse 13 says, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." So Paul's gospel witness was even inside Caesar's palace. And keep in mind that this was Caesar Nero, who was famous for killing Christians and hating Christians. And yet the gospel witness went inside Caesar's palace. Well, God orchestrated that. Some Christians are scared to death about what will happen in the next election. And I will tell you, you should vote. You should vote if you live in the United States, and you should vote for the candidate that supports Christian values. The candidate that supports Christian values. The candidate that's against abortion. The candidate that supports our values as believers in Jesus Christ. You should vote for that candidate. But at the same time, if that candidate does not win, some Christians think it'll be an absolute disaster. And the truth of the matter is that even Caesar Nero sat on the throne by permission of God. And God got the gospel inside his household, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. In verse 22 of chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, Paul says, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." So there were saints inside Caesar's household, and the witness of Paul's bonds, his testimony in bonds, even went inside the Caesar's household, and there were people saved right there in that wicked man's house. Now verse 14 says, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And so Paul's bonds embolden other believers to speak up for Christ. If Paul could be imprisoned at Rome and still preach, obviously they could too. Sometimes we need to see others do something to encourage us to believe that it can be done. Sometimes God allows people to do something so that it can encourage us to believe that it can be done and to see that it can be done. I remember I was thinking about quitting a ministry that I was in, and I talked to another pastor, a friend of mine, and I was very discouraged, and he told me a story about something that happened in his own family. And that encouraged me to keep going because I thought, well, if he can keep going, so can I. And that's what Paul is saying here. Many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So Paul's bonds and the life of the Apostle Paul was a motivator to those who preached the gospel of Christ, and it motivated them to speak the word boldly and without fear. Now, the second thing we're going to see is the motives of those who preached the gospel in verses 15 through 17. The motivator, but now the motives. The motives of those who preached the gospel. Some indeed preached Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So this is an important section in verses 15 through 18. The idea here is that some that preached Christ didn't do it for the right motives. Some preached Christ of envy and of strife. And so you had people that envied Paul. They envied his ministry. And so they got up and preached in such a way as to grow their churches and to make their churches bigger than Paul's ministry, to make their ministries bigger than Paul's ministry because they were envious of the Apostle Paul. They were envious of the people that he had discipled, of the influence that he had, and they preached of envy and of strife. They're like people today. Maybe they published a paper or a blog and they attacked other people to try and cut down other people that they were jealous of. But they preached Christ of envy and of strife. And he said, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So these preachers that didn't preach Christ sincerely were so low down that their primary goal, they said, Paul's in jail. We're going to have more people saved than Paul, and we're going to have bigger ministries than Paul, so that it'll hurt Paul while he's in jail. It'll hurt his feelings. It'll add affliction to his bonds because we don't like Paul. He's a dirty, low-down, rotten so-and-so, and we're going to add affliction to his bonds by growing our ministries, by having more people saved than Paul has saved. One preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And this was one of Paul's chief priorities. Paul defended the gospel of Christ. A lot of times we say the gospel of Christ doesn't need defending. You should just preach it, and it'll take care of itself. But that's not what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul knew that there were people constantly trying to destroy the gospel of Christ, to break down the gospel of Christ, to hurt the gospel of Christ. And so he said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. And he said some people preach Christ of contention, but others of love. others sincerely. And the third thing that we're going to see is the Messiah who is preached by the gospel. The Messiah who is preached by the gospel in verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So the Messiah that was preached by the gospel, the Christ that was preached, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says the fact that Christ is preached, and he's preached clearly and plainly, is the important thing. The motives of those preaching were not always sincere. And this is really the opposite of what we would do today. Today we would say, well, if somebody has good motives, if they have good motives, then their doctrine can be wrong. But if they have good motives, then they're good people. And we'll rejoice in the fact that they're sincerely trying to do right, even though their doctrine is wrong and their gospel's a little off. But not Paul. Paul said, I don't care. You know, God will take care of their motives, but I don't care whether they preach Christ sincerely or whether they preach Him out of jealousy and envy, trying to hurt me while I'm in jail. As long as they're preaching Christ, I'm going to rejoice in that. You see, Paul was more concerned about sound doctrine than he was about motives. And that's the opposite of the way we think today. In fact, while Paul rejoiced here that Christ was preached and that the gospel was preached, even if it was preached with wrong motives, in the book of Galatians, he condemned anyone. He said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what has been preached to you, let him be accursed. And so, Paul condemned anyone, even himself, even an apostle. He condemned anyone who would preach a false gospel. But here, no matter what the motive, even if they have bad motives, he rejoices that the true gospel is preached and that Christ is preached. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Christ is preached. And Christ is the whole point of the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Christ. Specifically, the saving gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ who died for our sins and was buried and rose from the dead. And the fact that Christ is preached, that Christ is preached, that salvation by Christ, by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ, by grace through faith in Christ, the fact that that is preached is something that we should rejoice in. But if somebody preaches a false gospel, if somebody preaches a gospel that teaches salvation by works, that teaches salvation by human merit, that in some way confuses works and grace, if somebody confounds the gospel, though they be very sincere people, though they be very sincere, we should not find joy in that. And sometimes we're more worried about the fact that some preacher down the road who may preach salvation by grace through faith is trying to hurt our ministry and is preaching against us and calling us compromisers and whatever else he wants to call us, rather than rejoicing in the fact that he's preaching the gospel and seeing sinners saved. You see, I would rather have the little Baptist church down the street say that my Baptist church is too worldly and is compromising, and they're preaching the gospel and seeing sinners saved. I'd rather that than another brother in town who's preaching a false gospel and who's adding works to salvation and who's complicating the gospel and keeping sinners from being saved by preaching that false gospel. I'd rather have that little guy down the road who preaches against me, preach against me and preach a true gospel than I would to have the other guy down the road say that I'm a good person and a good brother and he's my buddy, and yet he preaches a false gospel. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, look, people are going to criticize me. If they criticize me and they preach the truth, that's what's important. If they preach Christ, that's what's important. If the gospel is preached, then that is what's important, is that Christ is preached. And salvation by grace through faith alone is preached. That is what's important. Not me. Not the fact that somebody doesn't like me and preaches to hurt me. That's not what's important. It's important that Christ is preached. And so in his bonds, in his own house, but yet in bonds, Paul was a motivator to those preaching the gospel, both to those whose motive was to preach it sincerely, and he was a motivator to those whose motive was to preach it insincerely and based on contention. But whether they preached it sincerely or insincerely, as long as they preached the true gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul rejoiced. And so should we. So should we. You may not like the church down the road, the preacher down the road. You may think they're contemporary. You may think they're too straight-laced and conservative. You may think whatever you want to think about them, but if they preach the true gospel, you should rejoice in that. You should rejoice. If sinners get saved, you should rejoice. And so often, if the church is too contemporary and too what we call worldly, if sinners get saved, then we're mad about it because they should have come to our church because we preach the whole counsel of God and we preach it straight-laced and they should have come to our church. But no, that's not what Paul did. Paul's major focus was on the gospel. Is the gospel preached clearly? Is the gospel preached plainly? And if the gospel is preached clearly and plainly, then he will rejoice. And what is that gospel? The gospel is that Christ died on the cross for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the whole world, and that he was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And if you will turn to him by faith and put your faith in him as your personal Savior, Jesus Christ will save you and give you eternal life with him in heaven. That is the gospel. And we praise God for it. Well, thank you for listening today. We appreciate it. And we hope that you have a great rest of the week. Join us on Sunday morning when we'll be in the book of Genesis. And if you want to come out and worship with us, we are having midweek and Sunday morning services in person. And we are practicing social distancing and having the church cleaned and sanitized. And so we look forward to seeing you. But God bless you and hope you have a good week.